Presence with us this evening, and we thank you for bringing your people together in this fashion with one purpose and one heart and one intention to hear thy voice. Oh Lord God, please bless us now with your word, and please fill every heart, hallelujah, with new life. A new energy from above.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
That thy words might be spirit and might be life to thy people. And that we might all depart from here tonight thanking God.
Amen.
For the blessing of his presence with us. O God, we submit ourselves into thy hand now. And ask that you have your own way.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, dear Lord.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah.
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 Praise God. We just thank God for this privilege of being able to come together in this fashion. The Lord says when we meet in the name of Jesus, he is there in the midst to bless us and to do us good. If we met for any other purpose but for the purpose of going into the Word of God and to hear what God has to say, then it would not be in the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus is the nature of Jesus. Hallelujah. So as we come together, I am of the impression that we are like the priests coming to the dining table in the holy place with the bread spread there and the meat of the sacrifice they brought in. They are ready to eat, and this is the table of the Lord, and we just thank God for his table. We believe that we are in the time of the wedding feast, and in the time of the wedding feast, special things must happen. We must get a special food. God must be sending special energy, special strength to strengthen the bride for the darkness that is to come. Because surely we are entering upon the threshold of a night that the world has never seen before. A darkness is about to descend upon us, not only us as a people and as a church, but the world at large, and the only light and the only hope and the only strength is going to be the people of God.
Amen.
For this reason, I am here tonight. I'm not here as an evangelist seeking a congregation. I am here because I'm sent of the Lord God, sent from my country, sent from my home, sent from everything that I ever lived and loved, to be on the road to meet God's people, to tell them, thus saith the Lord. And I pray to God that the Spirit of God tonight will convey the message, hallelujah, that is coming from the Lord. I am only a vessel. I'm here because I know that God is going to tell me exactly what to say. And that's why I stand before you tonight. If it were to study a message to tell you, I would not do it. I just am not that sort of person. I'm not a preacher at heart. I'm only a preacher because God sent me. Praise be to God. So therefore, what flashes to me tonight to bring you into a word here that God is saying to me, take calm. We start at Psalm 24. And we are going to read from that seventh verse. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, Psalm 24 and verse 7 says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in." Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. The message to us tonight is lift up. Hallelujah. Lift up your heads. Praise be to God. I am seeing something here. I am seeing a great storm coming towards us. I'm seeing God running ahead of the storm and saying to his people, prepare, 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 prepare. I'm seeing some people not knowing what to do to prepare. Some people are flustered. They're running all around. They're running here and they're running there. And they are hoping that somehow they will find something to prepare with. But God is saying to us tonight, the preparation must be within the temple. In when storm is coming, we generally batten up our windows outside. But God is saying that we need strength within. The bride must be strengthened, for she must bring forth at midnight. Hallelujah. Now, I am going to leave myself wide open for questions just after we have these messages. That some of you who didn't understand what I said, or if I said something that didn't sound right to you, I want you to ask me a point blank question right here before everybody. Don't ask me any secret questions. Ask me right point blank before everybody, because the people will be blessed if you asked the question that somebody else wanted to ask. But praise be to God. Let's go into this word. God is saying to lift up your heads, O ye gates. But he is speaking to an everlasting gate. Now, what kind of a gate is everlasting? Amen. I only know one gate that is everlasting. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it is the gate in our soul. Because God has given us eternal life. And he's saying to us, now I want you to learn to open up your gates to me. For some of us don't know how to open up to God. Sometimes we open up to one another. Amen. Sometimes you open up to the wrong person and you get hit and you get hurt. But God is saying tonight, I want my children to begin to practice, to learn, to open up to me. For instance, tonight we had a song service, but you didn't open up. You were just barely peeping through. You know, you just cracked the door and just peeping through. Not a swinging wide. The door open and let the flood of God comes in. Because whenever God comes in, it breaks out. And God wants his people to learn to open up to God. Hallelujah. Learn to open up so that God may come in. You say, but I have God already. I have the blood of Jesus Christ. I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so, what else? Brother, when you open up to God, you find that you didn't have much. That you could take much more. And the more you get, it's the more you want. See, that's the principle. The peculiar principle is that the more you get of God, it's the more you want. The least amount that you have is the people who don't want anymore. I've got it. Amen. I've got it. And the people who are saying I've got it are the people who don't have enough. Now, what God is saying, that, you know, I hate to hear people talk about being filled with the Spirit. being filled with the Spirit. They always use the word filled where they should have said the person was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Being baptized in the Spirit and the Spirit filling you, it's a different, entirely different thing. Because whenever the Spirit fills you, you overflow. Hallelujah. And you can tell when a person is filled because it starts overflowing. Amen. But when you are baptized in the Spirit is, of course, that moment when the Holy Ghost first came within you. Because God operates from without and God operates from within. So the Holy Ghost comes within you. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when, hallelujah, He anoints you. He anoints you to do something. He fills the vessel. And then there is another time when you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost again. Because he's not anointing you now. But when He anoints you, He fills you and He overflows. And so praise be to God. There is a filling and there is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And what we are saying tonight is that we want to have the fullness of what God has ordained for the church. Amen. Now, the promise is that God would walk in you and God would talk in you. And do you want me to read it for you? Come. Let's turn here. Take Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31. And in the verse 31, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with thee, with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my laws in their inward parts. Meaning to say, in your heart or in your soul. And write it in their hearts. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Hallelujah. So, for a person to really know God, you must have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are saved when you accept Jesus as your Savior. But to really know God, you must have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, He continues to increase. For you know why the Holy Ghost came? The Holy Ghost came in order to bring forth Christ in us. Amen. Believe you me. I remember when down in the Pentecostal church we were taught that the Holy Ghost came to give us power to witness. No, that's a side effect. that's like, you know, that's a side effect of having the Holy Ghost. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you must have power to witness. Amen. Amen. But that's not what He came for. He came in order that Christ would be born in us. Christ would be formed in us like a fetus formed in a mother. Christ would be formed in us and Christ comes out and then Christ takes over. This is what God brought the Holy Ghost for. And if we don't submit to the Holy Ghost, then the baby is, you know, not formed. Not properly formed, deformed, not growing, not, we would not bring forth. In other words, God is saying that the Holy Ghost is the one that is going to lead us back to God. Like Eliezer, you remember Eliezer, Abraham's servant? He went for Rebekah and he put her on the hump of the camel and he took her back to Isaac. So it is that the Holy Ghost has us on the hump of the camel. Sometimes it's not an easy ride. No, it's not a Cadillac. You know, it's not a Cadillac ride. It is on the hump of the camel. And every jerk the camel make you feel it. But he's taking you back to God. And he's bringing us into the place where we will be like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now this is a promise. That just as Jesus ministered for 3.5 years. Now this might be strange to some of you, but don't throw it out, please. I would rather you question me about it before you throw it out. That just as Jesus Christ ministered for 3.5 years, there is a church, a people, a body that is going to minister for 3.5 years. 3.5 natural years. Just as Jesus Christ lived, as I said this morning, as a carpenter, for 30 years, that there is a people who are going to live and do their natural work. Amen. You all want to be carpenters. But you live and do your natural work until you come to spiritual maturity.
Amen.
Jesus Christ came to physical maturity. And when he came to 30 years of age, God anointed him with the ministry. And he went out for 3.5 years. There is a church that must come to its bar mitzvah or its 30 years of age. And then the father must say, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And this church must go out and minister in the darkness of the tribulation. Amen. And this church must be an overcomer's church. This church cannot be a loser.
Amen.
This church is a winner.
Amen.
Tonight we want to talk about how to be a winner. How are we going to be a winner? He says, let me go back to take over Revelation here. And it's I think chapter 3 and somewhere verse 20. He says, "Behold, I, Jesus Christ, stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Behold, I, Jesus, stand at the door and knock. I remember the days when I used to preach that to sinners. And I used to say, "Jesus is knocking at your heart door." And that was level one. But now we come to a different level and we see it in a different light. That Jesus Christ is still knocking at the heart door of the believer so that the believer might open to him, so that he might make you like himself. I'm going to put a drawing on this board for you. Tonight when we sang the song, "We are the temple of God," there was a special energy that came in the meeting. If we were alive, and, you know, pick it up, we would continue to sing songs about the temple of God, because God did say something about his temple tonight. Now we are the temple of God. As the temple of God, we must have 3 sections. And we must have a holy of holies, and a holy place, and an outer court. Now, the holy of holies is the spirit. The holy place is the soul, and the outer court is the body, God's temple, God's dwelling place, God is planning to dwell eternally in that. That's why we must have an everlasting door. Now God the Father, God the Son, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, shine down into my spirit, and my spirit must minister life to my soul. But if I lock the doors here, then my spirit is barred out from my soul. But when I receive the blood of Jesus Christ and this area became a living area, then immediately some doors were opened between my soul and my spirit, and the Holy Ghost could minister straight through my spirit into my soul. When you talk about the everlasting doors, every temple must have a gate on the outside, gate, tabernacle gate, door, veil. And the Bible speaks of Jesus Christ when he resurrected that the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And God is saying that when this soul is resurrected, when this soul era comes forth in the life of God, this veil will burst wide open. And the spirit and the soul will be in one area. Now let me explain to you a little bit about the spirit and the soul. The spirit is a high energy entity. There's no other way I can describe it. It's an high energy entity. The Holy Spirit is a higher energy entity. Jesus Christ is higher entity, and God is the higher. So we find that this great power of life is surging through Christ, through the Holy Ghost, to minister to my spirit, to bring my spirit up from the low level, hallelujah, that the soul is pulling down, the body is pulling down, and so the spirit is lifting. And if I obey the spirit, I am lifted into a higher dimension. And if I may be permitted, let me use the word frequency, because we can understand it that one thing can be in this room on a certain frequency and you cannot hear it. All the music, this is a radio here, if I dare touch that knob and turn that thing on, it will blaze out with music, and all kinds of things will come forth from this box you see here, because the box will pick up a different frequency from the frequency that our ears are on. Are you with me? Therefore we're talking about God. So that God is on such a high frequency. That's why Jesus Christ is here tonight, and we are sure he's here, but we can't see him with our natural eyes, because he's here on a different frequency. And he says he's here to bless us and to what? Do us good. So he's here to lift our thoughts into a higher realm, so that we can understand the things of God. So that even tonight we can see our bodies as a temple of the living God and a dwelling place of the Almighty God.
Praise.
Amen. Yet the angels bow before him. Yet his power is so great that he has to shield himself from his angels. He has to put a cloud between himself and his angels according to the word of God. So if you can understand what we are dealing with tonight, we are dealing with God come down to man. God brought himself down into a body. He said, a body have I prepared. And this body named Jesus. But within him was the Christ, the living God himself, was in a man walking. And so this man entered into another realm and he said, you know what, children, I am going away, but I'm preparing a place for you so that you may step in where I step out. Amen. And you may step on. And one day you will be in the same realm in which I am. Don't you understand? So we are a people who are progressing on in spiritual things into God. Now, if this is the case, we ask, how then can I get closer to God? What do I have to do? Personally, all you have to do is to believe God and trust Him to do it for you. But you've got to know what you want God to do. In other words, the Word, if you believe the Word of God, you will be able to take the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and then ask God to come in and fill your being. You see, if you listen to certain doctrines, they are telling you that you cannot be perfect. But my doctrine is from the Bible. And the Bible said, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I know I'm not perfect, but I have no doubt that I'm going to be. Amen. That's the difference between me and some other doctrine. I am not perfect, and I am not perfect because I am still on the way, growing in God. But I know if I continue to grow in God, one day I'm going to be perfect. And I know God has set a day when man will go through the veil. What I'm talking about is this. I know God has set a day when there will be a breaking through between the spirit and the soul, and the soul will live in the realm of the spirit. The brethren asked Jesus Christ, said, teach us to pray, Lord. What did he say? He said, our Father, the one who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next phrase? Thy kingdom come. Huh, what am I praying for now? You still pray that prayer? Or you get too high to pray? I used to be with a group who were too high to say the Lord's Prayer. They say, oh, that's child's play. That's right down the bottom there. We haven't got the first phrase passed yet. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I'm asking God to reign in me as he reigns in heaven. I'm asking God to take charge of my soul area just like he is in charge of heaven. Let me show you something. Many people, when we talk about soul, you don't know what soul is. Soul is mind. Number one, mind. And I know that there are some teachers who are preaching that mind is your spirit. But if mind is my spirit, then my spirit is very corrupt. And I don't believe. See, I can prove it to you that mind is not a spirit. I'll soon show you in the scripture. Here, number two, the second part of us is our emotions. And the third part is our will. The fourth part is our desires. Let me tell you something. You see those four things? There are four areas of your being that function on four different frequencies. In other words, they have different energy levels. Your mind can energize your emotions. And if you think a certain thing, you can actually taste it when it's not there. Your mind is so powerful that whatsoever man thinketh, so is he, the Bible says. And that's a fact. You have to be careful of what you think. Oh yes, you start thinking evil about a person. All of us have fallen into that trap. That's the truth. Somebody do you something, and you start to think evil of him, and all of a sudden he become a monster. And you think and think and think and think, and you begin to blame him for some things he never did, and you see the man as a monster. Your mind did it. He is not a monster. He's probably just an ordinary sinner. You fall in love with someone. Some of you have fallen to that condition. And all of a sudden the person is just a goddess, you know, just floating on air. And you keep thinking about the person, and you keep thinking about the person, until when you touch a person's hand, you feel the thrill run through all your body. That ever happened to you? Oh, maybe you're not human. But I tell you, that mind, it's just a marvelous machinery. It's a being, it's a living thing, it's like a living creature. The emotions, you begin to attach emotion to anything, and your emotions will play all kinds of tricks with you. Amen, brother? If you love that guitar, I mean, somebody comes and drops the guitar and it hurts your way down there. Did you ever see that ever happen? God dealt with us severely. And I just thank God to deal with us severely, although I still feel a little tenderness right here. We had an ancient house, an old thing that the slaves built maybe 300 years ago, and the walls were this thick, and we loved the house. I mean, just love it. It was so peaceful. It looked out at sea, and when you see the whole Caribbean lying down for you there. And we said, boy, we're just going to fix this house. This is our retirement house. We're going to bring all the brethren to this house. This house is a very large house, 7 bedrooms and a dining room as big as this whole hall. That's the dining room. We could drive a car inside the dining room. And we said, oh, this is going to be wonderful. And you know what happened? Vandals went in there while we were here preaching to you. And vandals took every living thing that we had. You know, people save up little things. Maybe this is a wedding dress. You know, this wedding dress with all the frills. Sometimes we have fun. I said, put it on. And, you know, and I was just saying to myself, one day I must take our picture in this wedding dress. And we have everything, our wedding pictures, everything. All that we put together, you know, things that you put together that you love. And the people went in there and they took everything. They took down to the toilet bowl. They went in and they took the wires out of the wall. And they took off the roof. They took off the ceiling. They took off every piece of lumber. They took off the windows. They took off the floor. They took off everything and left the wall. Well, thank God for the walls. The ancient walls are still standing there. Hallelujah. And I said, God, you did this. No vandals did this. You did this. You see, we had that thing in our hearts. And we did not know how to give it up. Amen. We didn't know how to give it up. He took it. And so you find out, after all, what is there but Jesus Christ? Amen. When you have Jesus, you just have everything that you want. All the little things that we save up and we attach emotions to them, they are just weights, to be honest with you. Actually, they don't have more value than anything else, but you attach a value to them. See, an emotional value. God is calling to his people to get your emotions cleaned out. Oh, yes. You know, a sister was telling us in a meeting one night that she was in Germany. She was a German and is a German, and she was in Germany when the Russians came in or something like that, and how they had to march and leave all their things. And you know, sometimes you have crockery, china, and the lovely china and the lovely silver that families handed down, and your beautiful heavy silver, and they had to leave it. And those people who carried it with them, they paid with their lives. Because you see somebody staggering with this weight of things, and then finally he drops off something, and finally they drop off something, and finally you know, it just wear them down. And they said anybody who fell out of the line, they shot them. And this was this just give us an idea. God is asking the body of Christ to get rid of emotional values apart from the ones that Jesus Christ has put in us. Amen. The will, you know, the will is a very peculiar machinery. If you will to get that chair, it's like an anchor or a lock that you put on, and you keep, everything revolves around everything, and you one day you'll go after the chair. I heard a certain evangelist preaching one night, and he said, I always wanted to be the president of a college, of a university. I always want. It shocked me. You know why? I know that if you have something in you from you were a little boy or a child, and you never got it out, that sooner or later you're going to use every power that God gives you to bring it to pass. Because that will is locked there, and it will be locked there from you're a child, and it will be locked there until God wants us to give up our wills to His will. Amen. You see, so there is a lock there, and there's a bar to the Holy Ghost. Don't believe that the Holy Ghost can just come in and walk through and through you as He pleases. God never made you like that. The reason God had to make you with bars and locks and gates, it's because no demon spirit will be able to take a human being unless that human being wants that. Amen. So it comes to the desires. I said to God, Lord, how could I beat the devil? I would like you to give me a handle that I could beat the devil at his game, that he would have nothing in me. Jesus Christ said, the prince of this world cometh, and he has nothing in me. I said, how could I get to that place? He said, desire nothing. So if I desire nothing, I cannot be tempted. Because the only thing you can be tempted with is the things that you want. Amen. As I was saying, you can't tempt me with potatoes because I don't like it. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't tempt me with potatoes. It's not a temptation to me, but some people can tempt them with potatoes because they like it. So the devil has to find out what you like. Oh yes, potato and gravy. The devil has to find out what you like. And when he finds out what you like, brother, he goes after you and he uses it as a temptation to you. He could find nothing in Jesus, nothing to tempt him with. But Jesus fasted for 40 days, and the Bible recorded that as a human being, afterwards, he was on hunger. Virgin, you ever been hungry? It's a shame. Some of you never been hungry. You never know what hungry is. I was hungry. I fasted for 21 days. And I had to go to work. And I was coming home at midday. I lived just My house is just across from the office. And I'm coming over to my house at midday, and hunger, I mean, it became a madness. It was like something that had got to be a madness. I was so hungry. And I came to my gate, and there was a green leaf of a tree, something like a ponciana. And it just waved right across my mouth. And the impulse was to just grab it and stuff it into my mouth. And I had to catch my hand partway. As I walked off again, there was a calf. Somebody tied a calf on my gatepost to eat the grass around there. And the calf turned his rump like this. And I saw a roast. I instinctively went after the calf just to bite it. And then I had to catch myself. I went inside and prayed, and I felt better and went back to work. But that's real hunger. Jesus Christ was hungry. And I know it was that kind of a hunger. When take stones and make bread. Say, don't you are God? You're the Son of God. You can do anything. Jesus knew he could do anything. But he also knew that anything the devil says is a lie. The devil ever tell you a truth? The devil will talk true things and it is a lie. Do you know the devil takes the Bible and quote it, and when he quotes it, it turns into a lie? Because see, his intention is to deceive you. So when a brother, I've heard many of the ministers on the television and the radio take a scripture and preach it a certain way to say certain things, it's a lie. That's not what God was saying. He took the word of God and he turned the word of God into a lie. Satan went to Eve and said, did not God say? It's a lie. See, so Jesus knew it was a lie. And moreover, Jesus knew that he should not take his spiritual power to produce food to satisfy his hunger. The Bible said when he rebuked the devil, angels from heaven came and brought bread and gave it to him. Yes, angels from heaven came and ministered unto him. That's what ministered means. Be servant, gave him bread and food to eat. Praise be to God. We see then that there is an area in our beings that we need to pay some more attention to. First of all, we have to be careful what we think. How we think about people and about things. Okay. Someone comes and slams me a blow. Somebody come here and slap you. Hurts you. Why did this man do this thing? You start getting upset over it. The natural way is to be upset. That is way down low. Low, 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 as low can be, to be upset and get mad. Because what your natural man is saying, hit him back. Let him feel what you feel. Amen? The spiritual man will say, something is wrong with this man, why he hits me. It must be a devil that is causing him to hit me. And you begin to pray for the man, because you can see by the eyes of the spirit a devil, a demon causing him to do that which is unseemly. Entirely different thing. You cannot be mad with a sick man. If you knew that man was sick, you couldn't get mad at him and start beating him up because he hit you or beat on you. You have to know that there is something wrong with him, that he's motivated by devils, and you have to get up and strike at the devils and set the man free. Amen. Hallelujah. We have seen this so often. But how can you do it if you cannot control yourself? Amen. We had a problem in church once. At that time, I didn't know better. I was pastoring. You can ask me about that. I'll tell you. I was pastoring, and this sister always gives trouble. And so she and another sister got together, and they were quiet. So they said, all right, let's go to elder and let him split the difference. So they came to me, and one told me her side. I could see where she was right. I could see where she was wrong. The other one told me her side. I could see where she was right. I could see where she was wrong. They turned to me now and said, what is your verdict? Don't you think I am right? And the other, don't you think I am right? I said, well, listen, I have discerned the situation. I said, your demon does not like her demon. It just closed the whole case. Both of them went out about it, because that in itself rebuked the spirit that was in both women. Do you know that spirits attract one another? Amen. If I have a contentious spirit, I have to find a person with a contentious spirit to contend with. If I have a contentious spirit, I wouldn't go look for a person with a perfectly peaceful spirit who is not going to contend with me. Then I would feel ashamed. If I'm cursing you and you're not answering me back, I am ashamed. See? So every person who is motivated by one spirit, that person always finds another who is motivated by the same spirit and stir that person up. What am I saying? I'm saying, sister, if somebody curse you or hurt you and you get mad, you have the same spirit as the person has. No, you don't like to hear it. That's not pretty. But this is something. You better learn to start identifying these things. God said, I want you to read that with me. We're in Revelation here. Revelation 12 and verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Not God's heaven. Not God's heaven, but this heaven. Amen. You know what the word heaven means? God's dwelling place. And God's dwelling place is in us. We are the temple of the living God. Amen. And God is now looking about cleaning this temple. Right? Now, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now, I don't want to go into much details to explain to you what the dragon is, but if you notice above here, it said a great red dragon. Great red dragon. To find out what a red dragon would be different from a blue dragon or a white dragon, you would have to turn to Revelation 6, which we won't turn to, and I'll just explain to you that God said the red horse took peace from the earth. So this red here identifies the dragon as one of war and destruction. Amen. Now this dragon, it said, made war and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. If you took out the word heaven and put the word the kingdom of God, you would understand it a little better. That there is war down here in the kingdom of God. That there is war within us here. We're not having perfect peace. We need to have that peace. We need to get this job done. But God said he sent Michael and his angels to fight for us, to get the devils out of the kingdom of God. And tonight, you ask the question, why would God send Michael? Now, you know who Michael is? Michael is one of the greatest archangels in heaven. That means he commands magnificent power more than we could think or conceive. This angel is able to lift one finger and the whole earth would be destroyed. This is the power of this angel, marvelous, beyond what we can conceive. Now, why would God send such a great power to cleanse the church or the kingdom of God of Satan? Because Satan has deep roots in us. That after God has given us salvation, after God has sent the Holy Ghost to dwell within us, that we are still holding back from allowing the Holy Ghost and taking full charge of the kingdom of God. And so it is a big job. But one of the trouble lies sometimes in the very familiar spirits. You hear me? Family spirits, which we call our nature. Do you hear me? I hear a man, I have a good friend, and I said, brother, don't fight the issue. Just give up on this issue. Just let it be. He said, are you asking the Norwegian to back down? Amen. You know what I mean? We may have some good Irish brothers and sisters here, but we are the fighting Irish. We can't give up. Do you know that every nation has the same problem? We used to fight like demons on the street and everywhere. And we're not supposed to lose because we are French and African mixed, and we're not supposed to lose. We're supposed to conquer and beat everybody else. And that is what people have in them. You know what you're doing? You're accepting demon spirits. Amen? People talk about, because you're a redhead, you're supposed to have wild spirit and things like that. It's all part of what the demon said in our thinking. If you believe it, it is so. Yeah. Satan invented a Bible under Semiramis and Nimrod, or if you want a better name for them, you know, he was Ninus, the sun, and she was Venus. That sounds better. You understand that? Venus, Aphrodite, the same person. But under them, they created a Bible, and they called it the Zodiac. And they documented every human being that is born in the world to be born under a sign of the Zodiac. And this sign of the Zodiac is the nature of Satan, that Satan says you are supposed to have. Amen. So therefore, the moment you claim it, you find yourself acting like a Pisces, acting like a Aries the ram with horns, acting like a Taurus the bull, you know, and you find yourself acting these parts. And you find that the destiny that Satan ordained for you begin to take shape in your life. Oh yes. You ever had a seance or something like that? You know what I'm talking about. Well, these readers, do you know what they read for you? They read the destiny that Satan has ordained for you. That's what they tell you. And if you believe it, it happens to you. Oh yes, if you believe it, it happens to you. Now, God is saying, amen, that we as sons of God have to overthrow all this. Throw out the zodiac. You are no Pisces. You are no Aries the Ram. You are no Libra the Balance. You are nothing. You are sons of God. The nature that is to come to you is the nature from Christ. Therefore, the nature of the mind must come through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and the mind of Christ must take charge of your mind. Now tell me, brother and sister, how is the mind of Christ going to take charge of your mind, Wesley? My mind, remember now, my mind is occupying a spiritual place in my whole being. How is the mind of Christ going to come down on top of my mind and mix with my mind? I have to reject my own thinking. Can you do that, brethren? God, I think so and so, but I reject it in the name of Jesus. Give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts, oh God. I reject my thinking. I'm talking about Michael the Archangel helping us to cleanse the temple. Amen. It means it's a big job, and God sent a big angel to do a big job. If you want a little job done, like moving this chair, God sent a little angel to move the chair. Amen. See, he said that the angels are ministering spirits for, what's that word? Angels are ministering spirits for us, so that what we want to be done, they can do it for us through Christ. Some people go around trying to contact angels and get the wrong ones. You wouldn't know a good angel from a bad one. So you better go to Jesus. Amen. He will do the angel commanding. The Holy Ghost will do the commanding of the angels. All you have to do is to contact God. There was a book called Angels on Assignment. You better throw it out if you have it. Because they don't have any angels playing with dogs down here. You know what I mean? And things like that. The Angels on Assignment is a wrong book. You know why? You just read it and you find that it's wrong. It page 40 has a lie right in there, and the whole rest of it is not of God. Now, I mean, I just say that, and you can question me about it afterwards if you like, but I just say that so that you might know what is happening now. In Revelation 12, way down there, in verse 17 says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed who kept the commandments of God. But up further up there it says that in verse 15, the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. The flood is increasing. Flood of false doctrines out of his mouth. Word. The flood of false doctrines is increasing. Beware, children of God, that you don't eat poisoned meat. You need to eat from God's table. Whatever you hear, you must hear it in the spirit. It must touch your heart here, and your heart must tell you, this is my God speaking. Why? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Too much I've never seen, I mean, it's a flood. Don't trust, say, man. Let me explain what that to you. God sends elders, God sends apostles, God sends preachers, God sends people, so they are men. When I say don't trust men, I mean this. Seth always brings a good word. Oh, Seth is our man. He brings a word from the Lord all the while. Therefore, anything he says, I say wrong. That's right where you miss. That's right where you miss. Don't take anything Seth says because it says so. Do you understand? Because you are setting up yourself for a fall. God wants you to trust him so that whatever comes from the brother, it comes to your spirit and you feel it in your spirit that this is God. Jesus Christ said he will make you know what is the true doctrine. You understand? So you're going to trust Jesus to help you to know what is true from what is lie. But don't take it because it's a special person. Then you're gone into respecter of persons. You understand? Respecter of persons will kill you. You know why I'm saying this? There are some men that I trusted. Men that I would probably shut my eyes and take what they say. And I hear them preaching false doctrine, as false as anything can be false. Worse than that. And I don't know why. But God forgive us and help us. Some of the best men that I've ever known, some of the best men of God that I've ever known, have preached some false doctrine. I don't know why, but I know that there's a weakness in man. And in our time, our only strength is the body of Christ. If you can't correct a preacher, a brother, that comes to you with the word of God, then he is not a person you can listen to because you're supposed to be able to correct it. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, there's no Nicolaitan spirit here. There's no class of high preacher class up here so that they are not brothers and sisters. Amen. They are servants of God. God is using them to bless you. Amen. But you must be able to say, well, I didn't believe that word was from God. And if you say that to me, I go right back to God and say, God, what did I make a mistake here? Did I miss here? Why this sister didn't believe? Now, Lord, either go to her and tell her the truth or correct me. It happens just like that. God's going to get you or God's going to get me. The body of Christ, our only hope, me. Our only hope is one another to balance with the world. Because the thing is getting very sticky nowadays. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You hear me? The game is getting pretty rough. The devils are out. And they are preaching all kinds of falsehood. And they are hitting everywhere. And you know what, brother? If you have a weakness in your life, get rid of it. You hear me? If you have a weakness in your life, get rid of it. You know what? It's going to kill you. It's going to open the door wide open to Satan. Yes. Every weakness that you have in your life, that God help you, try to get you rid of it. God try to help you. God throw you in a little trouble here and a little trouble there so that you might see yourself, so that you might get deliverance, and you still hang on to it. The devil will come right in on that weakness. And I've heard prophets of God. We had in a church some girls that could look at you and tell you everything, thus said the Lord God, and it was fearful in the congregation. How dreadful and powerful God was working with these girls. One girl fell in love with a young man, had a little problem, jealousy set in, and she began to prophesy falsely. Immediately. Why? She opened the door. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, that Christ may enter in. God is asking you to learn how to open up to him. Every disobedient opens to the devil. Every obedience to God opens to the Spirit of God. If God tells you to do something and you do it, it opens a way to the Spirit, and the Spirit comes in and begins to bless you. So this principle, if you can understand it, God is trying to cleanse us, and we must help. How we're going to help? First of all, don't believe that everything you think, that is it. Everybody must take what you think and what you say. Begin to submit your thoughts to God and say, Lord God, I reject my own thinking. I want your thinking. Unless you cleanse yourself of your brainwashed thinking, you'll never be able to get God's thinking. And when the mind begins to think right, you begin to feel right. Some of us have emotional problems. And the emotional problems have deep roots. Deep roots coming from far. And we need help from God. But the Bible said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And if I take my emotional problems to God and say, Jesus Christ, I know this is wrong. I don't like it. It hurts me to be emotionally involved in a wrong thing. I want my emotions to be cleansed. I want Jesus Christ to dwell in this dark area of my being. God will answer you. You might have a little problem. Fire might hit it. Fire might hit that emotions. You might get burnt. But blessed be to God, when it's over, when it's all over, you'll be a better person for God. Unless we can be honest with God, unless we can go to God and offer up these areas to God, we will not be cleansed. God wants to come in now. God wants to be in your emotions now. God wants to be in your will. Check all your wills. Look through your will. Do I really want to be like Christ? I asked the Lord, God, make me like Jesus Christ. And my will is locked there. But do I really want it? Because if I get like Jesus, I'm going to lose some friends. I'm going to lose probably my job. I'm going to be looked down upon. Nobody will look up to me anymore. I'll be like a dog walking among men. Can I take this? Brethren, if you can't take it, know that you can't take it. You go to God and say, Lord God, I'd love to ask you to take my will, but give me the strength to do it. Don't be dishonest. Don't go and say, oh God, take my will, when you know definitely you can't stand it. See, we go back and you say, my desires, God help us. What do we really desire? Now, you have to have a will to desire. Huh? You have to have a will to desire God's desire. God, let your desires come forth in me. Most of us here could not take it. Believe you me. Because we desire certain things that God does not want us to have. And we cannot take it. We need to ask God to purify our desires so that we will desire God's desires. You know, just desire what the Son desires. Many of us want to be holy. We want to walk in holiness. We would like to have the power of God to heal the sick. We'd like to see the power of God move and deliver his people. But we also desire something that is not of God around the corner. You know what God tells me? He says, whenever you take one thing, you automatically reject the other. Isn't that peculiar? One day, I signed up for Bible school. Jesus Christ was teaching me in a supernatural way, coming into my room every evening, teaching me till midnight. And I went and signed up for Bible school. And he came into the room one evening, and he said, "If you go to Bible school, you have rejected me as your teacher." And that was ABC's, the simplicity, the reasoning. If I have a teacher, why would I want to go to another teacher? But I never thought of it that way. I thought I was going to have this teacher and have Jesus at the same time. And I would even tell this teacher what Jesus said. Yeah. Amen. But don't you see, can you see with me the problem? Anytime you accept certain things in life, you automatically reject what God has for you. God has a husband or a wife for you, and you go out there and take one, you have rejected God's charge without even knowing. You never knew God's charge, you took your own. So you reject God's charge. Everything in life, we are accepting and rejecting every day in our choices. Just ask God to help you to make the right choices. I'm going to close at this. And I'm going to ask you to question some of the things that I've said to you, because I think it's an urgent message. And I think God wants to get to you with the message. And sometimes you don't understand and you go away with the misunderstanding. Question me. Don't be afraid to ask a question, no matter how it sounds. Somebody wants to hear that answer. It will even help some of those who are going to listen to the tape. So I want you to just question what I said tonight and what the Lord has shown me to show you. Amen. Praise God. Yes.
As far as walking by faith, when we really feel that call upon our life to walk by faith, and then we're going to be questioned about the devil's going to bring his lies, and then those that see not that which we see are going to say, "Well, how can you go this way when you've got these responsibilities and that responsibilities?"
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask a question, and it's hard for me to phrase it in a question, but I'm saying what I have on my heart. If you can expound on.
Well, you are supposed to hear from God. I cannot hear from God for you. If I say to you, you have certain responsibilities in life, you have a wife, a kid, and you're supposed to do so and so, and you're supposed to do so and so, that is what I think. The only thing that should motivate you is if I brought a message and said, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen? Because normally this is what should be. Paul said, if any man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. That's scripture. And so it is a normal way that every man should take care of his family. Now, for me personally, I used to be on the mission field. I had 3 children and a wife. No salary, out in the bushes preaching. We live sometime on bush, just pick the bush and make a tea and drink it, and we just live like birds. And God took care of us. But the time came when things got very, very bad. And I am an accountant, so I went and took a job as an accountant. And I had to be running between the job, 70 miles away, and home to preach that night, back and forth, It was a very hard thing to do, but this was what happened to me. One time it got so bad that I was walking on the asphalt, and the asphalt was very hot. I don't know if you understand what it is when the asphalt it gets hot and you have no bottom on your shoe. The top was shiny and beautiful, but there was no bottom. And when I was walking and this asphalt was burning me, I stopped and I said, "My God, why are you doing this to me?" And no sooner than that, I said, "God, I was in a good job in the government service. I was made chief accountant. You told me the day that I was made chief accountant, I should resign. I resigned my job, and now we are starving." He said to me, "I want a man who will work when I want him to work, and will preach when I want him to preach. I am teaching you obedience." I never forgot that. The moment God spoke, a woman ran out of the drugstore across the street and grabbed my hand, and she said, "I caught you." She said, "I've been looking for you for months. My books are in bad condition. I need help." I went in there and did her books. It took us about 2 or 3 weeks to do the books. We made some $7,000 or something like that, and that carried us on for a while. But then I realized what God was doing with me personally. Now, if a man is not called and specially commissioned of God, he's going to have to be careful of what voices he hears that says to him, "Don't work, I want you here." See what I mean? In other words, if God has you down for a while and it's blessing you, benefiting you spiritually, at least there must be a time when God give you a job. Because one thing God taught me, never take welfare. Never. If I am going to take welfare from government, then I'm going to work. See what I mean? No, I'm not saying anything against welfare. I'm just saying that if God speaks to me and says, "Don't work," then I cannot be getting handout from government. See, His people would have, if God's people are blessing me, okay. But if God said to me, "Don't work," I cannot see God having me to live from the government at all. I could be wrong. I mean, I'm not telling you thus saith the Lord in that part of it. And if I'm wrong, somebody correct me, but I cannot see it right now where I am. Amen. See, the scripture said, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." If I come to a point where I have to beg bread, I know that something is wrong. I go work and take care of my wife and children. Because I would do anything at all, as labor, any kind of labor, to make my wife and children happy enough. So praise God. I hope that helps. I don't know. Any other question? Yes.
When you think you're trying to walk in God's will, sometimes it's hard to tell if it's your will, God's will, your desires, or His desires. Is it just your experience and stuff that you learn to discern?
Well, no. You see, it's God's responsibility to let you know His will. It's not yours. John chapter 7, verse 17, tells you if you desire, earnestly desire, to know God's will, God will let you know. John chapter 7, verse 17. Take a note. So it's not your responsibility to know God's will. It's God's responsibility to let you know His will. And God will let you know whatever means He uses. And you don't have to have any experience. You just have to believe God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you, brethren. Yes.
Earlier, you asked the question, how do I get closer to God? I don't know if I got this down.
Yeah.
I have to know what I want and then ask God.
That is part of the story. That's a part of the story. If I want this, I want to get closer to God. I only have to go to God and say, God, I want to get closer to you. You see, God dealing with you would be different from God dealing with this brother and God dealing with me. God will show you ways of you getting closer to Him, different from He would show me. Because we are different people, we're coming from different aisles. So if you believe God and you go to God and ask Him to show you how to get closer to Him, He will show you how, and He will do things to you. Sometimes it doesn't look that way. Hallelujah. I've known some things happen to people who ask for such things, and they say, oh God, why did you do this to me? But that's the way God. A guy had a job, and the job was between him and God. He was just worshiping the job. He asked God, God, I want to get closer to you. Bam, he lost the job. He thought God did him something very bad, but that's what he asked for. God's going to do it to you. Praise His name. Yes. So are we at the end of this? God bless you, brethren.